From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian song. Well, listener, we begin with the news. And stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on frequency 33 to 5 kHz, and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo leads cabinet meeting on the draft 2020 state budget. The United States Agency for International Development, USAID, appreciates the role of Indonesian government and young generation in conserving nature. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo led a plenary cabinet meeting to discuss the draft 2020 state budget and its financial notes at the State Palace in Jakarta on Monday. The plenary cabinet meeting took place before the head of state delivers the draft 2020 state budget and its financial notes to the House of Representatives DPR, normally on August 16, a day before the nation celebrates its independence. Vice President Yusuf Kalla was also present at the meeting. As quoted by Antara News Agency at a limited cabinet meeting held at the presidential office in Jakarta on July 15, 2019, President Joko Widodo gave directives to draw up the indicative ceiling of the draft 2020 state budget. The president said the government keeps it sound and responsive to strengthen the competitive edge and boost economic growth. The president highlighted four aspects to draw up the indicative ceiling of the draft 2020 state budget. Indonesian President Joko Widodo gave a briefing before the participants of 2019 National Coordination Meeting on Forest and Land Fire Control Tuesday morning at the State Palace, Jakarta. In the meeting attended by a number of cabinet ministers, the commander of the Indonesian military, national police, and the heads of agencies related to the forest and land fires control, the president conveyed a number of priorities that must be carried out in the context of controlling forests and land fires. The priority of forest fire prevention through patrols and detection to monitor the daily conditions of forests and land, encourage the arrangement of peat ecosystems carried out consistently, taking quick steps in handling forest and land fires, and the importance of firmness of law enforcement officers to take action in overcoming forest fire cases.
Jadi sekali lagi, yang pertama, prioritaskan pencegahan.
Firstly, prioritizing the prevention through integrated early detection patrols so that daily conditions in the fields are always monitored. Secondly, part of peat restoration agency, the arrangement of peat ecosystems in peat hydrological area can be done well in dry season. It must be done consistently. Keep the height of water, land surface, so that the peat remains wet, especially in the dry season. Thirdly, extinguish the fire immediately because the step for water bombing is not easy to conduct. Finally, I ask for law enforcement policy. I control it. I will do it without compromise. Meanwhile, Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Wiranto, in his report said that the National Coordination Meeting of Forest and Land Fires Control 2019 is to overcome some issues related to forest and land fires in Indonesia. The National Coordination Meeting of Forest and Land Fires Control 2019 is attended by 350 participants across Indonesia that consists of heads of regions and related institutions that come from some vulnerable regions of forest and land fires. Indonesian Diaspora Global Network, IDN Global, once again holds the 5th Indonesian Diaspora Congress. The event will be held for 3 days, namely on August 10 to 13, 2019 in Jakarta. In addition to gathering Indonesian diaspora from various countries in the world, this event will also discuss the main topics of world economic issues. IDN Global President 2017-2019 Mark Gerald Eman at a press conference in Jakarta on Monday said that the theme to be raised at this year's Congress was Empowering Indonesia's Human Capital, which emphasizes the importance of Indonesian human resources.
Diaspora bisa bersatu.
Diaspora can be united, so as it is able to help Indonesia. President Joko Widodo, in his speech, strongly emphasized the importance of the needs of Indonesian talents in the future to make Indonesia increasingly follow the development of the world competition. Meanwhile, Deputy Chairman of the IDN Global 2017-2019, Said Zaidansyah, said the Congress would bring together the Indonesian diaspora to discuss issues and challenges of human resources development from various sectors. The ultimate goal of this Congress is to strengthen the role of the Indonesian diaspora in improving the quality of human resources. Prominent figures to attend the Congress are, among others, Minister of Industry Airlangga Hartarto and the Governor of West Java Province Ridwan Kamil. It is expected that around 5,000 participants will attend the Congress. Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry commemorates 10 of August as the National Natural Conservation Day. This year's commemoration theme, Spirit of Millennial Natural Conservation, which is held at Muka Kuning Natural Park, Batam on August 5 to 7, 2019. After the opening of the commemoration on Monday, the official of the United States Agency for International Development USAID for Natural Resources Board, Andrea Pavlik, appreciates the Indonesian government and young generation in protecting biodiversity. Andrea Pavlik said that the young generation through social media such as Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter have shown their concern toward natural conservation issues.
So, I think that you see a lot of commitment from the Indonesian government and growing commitment from citizens and from youth to protect biodiversity. Again, we're here at National Conservation Day, which is an impressive celebration that Kail Haka places on conservation. So I see a lot of conservation movement in Indonesia.
Furthermore, Andrea Pavlik said that he is proud of being able to support the effort of Indonesian government in fighting against crime and hunting wild animals, as well as making decisions related to the conservation based on science and scientific evidences. In the series of commemoration of the National Natural Conservation Day 2019, the USAID through Developing Indonesia Bijak Program also participates in socializing natural conservation nationally through Millennial Talk. This news comes to you over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia is one of the countries with the highest level of biodiversity in the world. In an effort to preserve this diversity, the government collaborates with various parties carrying out various conservation efforts, both in natural habitats and outside their natural habitats. As an effort to introduce and monitor the circulation of wild animals in the field, the Ministry of Environment and Forestry has launched a guidebook for identification of protected animal species. This book is made in collaboration between Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry with the United States Agency for International Development, USAID, and other related parties. The book was launched on Monday, August 5, 2019 at the Muka Kuning Nature Park, Batam, as part of the commemoration of the National Nature Conservation Day. Director General of Conservation and Natural Resources, Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Wiratno, after launching the book, explained, in addition to education, this book can be used as a technical guide for law enforcement to oversee the circulation of protected wildlife.
Ini penting juga.
This is also important for law enforcement. Then there are also studies on how to identify a type of reptile, for example, dragons, and this is from their morphological appearance. But in terms of DNA, it is also developed. On the same occasion, Director of Biodiversity Conservation Indra Exploitasia explained, this book is intended for customs, quarantine, military, police officers and actors in the field on how to recognize protected animals. According to him, there are 904 species of protected animals, making it difficult for officers to identify these animals. Former Indonesian Ambassador to China, Sugeng Raharjo, urged all Indonesian diplomats around the world to help resolve the current account deficit but by not letting themselves get trapped in a sectoral ego and protocol affairs during their overseas postings. As quoted by Ancara News Agency, Sugeng Raharjo said that do not to presume an endeavor to increase trade cooperation is just a responsibility of the Trade Ministry, not the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Indonesian diplomats do not merely represent the Minister of Foreign Affairs. Instead, they represent all the stakeholders of the nation. Therefore, their presence should help Indonesia gain maximum benefit through trade and economic cooperation. According to Raharjo, who was assigned as the Indonesian ambassador to South Africa before heading to the Indonesian embassy in Beijing, there are at least four leading indicators for measuring the success of overseas Indonesian representative offices. And the last item, a total of 40 tons of tanduk and kapuk bananas are exported from Puspa Agro Sidoarjo East Java to Malaysia. As quoted by Ancara News Agency, banana exporter Adi in Sidoarjo East Java on Monday said that currently the need of banana in Malaysian markets is quite big. Adi said his site will expand network more optimally to bananas farmers so that the production can increase. Meanwhile, Executive Director of Puspa Agro, Abdullah Muhibuddin, stated that he is ready to explore cooperation with suppliers of banana in regions in order to fulfill market demand, which has increased widely. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo leads cabinet meeting on the draft 2020 state budget. The United States Agency for International Development, USAID, appreciates the role of Indonesian government and young generation in conserving nature. And listener, that's the news.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Severe Sanctions on Forests and Land Burners. While listener entering the dry season, hotspot viewed from satellite image begins to appear on several islands in Indonesia, such as forest fires in Riau, Jambi, Aceh, and Kalimantan. Forest and land fire control officers are overwhelmed by widespread fire. Head of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, Lieutenant General Doni Monardo, said that 99% of forest and land fires occur due to human action. In a coordinated meeting on forest and land fire disaster in Central Kalimantan Province, which took place in Palangkaraya on Sunday, Doni said that the majority of fires occur due to human activities, including land clearing by burning. He assessed that not many forest and land fires occur due to natural factors such as the presence of lightning or wind that made dry branches rub together and cause sparks. Doni added that natural conditions including El Nino and other natural phenomena only accelerate expansion instead of causes. He also explained that today the area of forest and land that is burned in the territory of Indonesia reaches more than 42,000 hectares. This number may increase, considering that forest and land fires still occur in various regions. Doni instructed his staff, including the Regional Disaster Mitigation Agency, to increase the posts in the bid to prevent and combat forest and land fires. Forest fires always bring about negative impacts on ecosystems of humans, animals, and plants. Generally, fires can affect health, the economy, transportation, and other activities. The good image of the nation will be harmed if it is unable to overcome this problem, especially if the smoke from forest and land fires crosses into neighboring countries such as Malaysia and Singapore, and they begin to complain about it. Preventing is much better and cheaper than extinguishing the forest fires. The cause of forest and land fires is human activity. Supervision must be tightened and education to the community must continue to be improved. The direct approach to the local community must be intensive so that they want to play a major role in preventing forest fires. Strict and severe sanctions must be imposed to large forest burning companies to prevent the loss of Indonesian forests. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in history, I'll begin with August 6, 1945, an atomic bomb called Little Boy is dropped by a U.S. plane in Japan. Little Boy is a code name given to a nuclear bomb dropped on Hiroshima, Japan on August 6, 1945. It was dropped from a B-29 flying super fortress called Enola Gay, piloted by Lieutenant Colonel Paul W. Tibbets. About 70,000 people were killed as a direct result of the explosion. Later, thousands other victims also died due to nuclear fallout and cancer caused by nuclear radiation. Pregnant mothers lost their children, or their children are born with various defects. Little Boy is the first of two nuclear bombs ever used in the Second World War.
Turning to August 6, 1997, Korean Air Flight 801 crashed. Korean Air Flight 801 crashed on August 6, 1997 at Antonio W. Wonpat International Airport, Guam. Its scheduled flights were for August 5 and 6 to transport Guam athletes to the South Pacific American Samoa to attend mini games. 228 people died in this accident. I'll end Today in History with August 6, 2009. Indonesian poet W.S. Rendra dies. Wilibordus Surendra Broto Rendra, or popular known as W.S. Rendra, is a famous writer who earned the nickname The Peacock. Rendra's poem was successfully published for the first time in Siasat magazine in 1952. After that, his poems flowed smoothly to appear in other magazines, especially periodicals, of the 60s and 70s. Besides in the country, Rendra's works are also well known abroad. Many of his books have been translated into foreign languages, including English, Dutch, German, Japanese, and Indian. This man from Solo is also actively participating in festivals abroad, including in the United States, Australia, the Netherlands, Germany, India, Japan, and Malaysia. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World.
Susu, kail dan jala cukup menghidupimu. Tiada badai, tiada topan kau temui. Ikan dan udang menghampiri dirimu. Bukan lautan, hanya kolam susu. Kail dan jala cukup menghidupimu. Tiada badai, tiada topan kau temui. Ikan dan udang menghampiri dirimu. Orang bilang tanah kita tanah surga. Tongkat kayu dan batu jadi tanaman. Orang bilang tanah kita tanah surga. Tongkat kayu dan batu jadi tanaman. Bukan lautan, hanya kolam susu. Kail dan jala cukup menghidupimu. Tiada badai, tiada topan kau temui. Ikan dan udang menghampiri dirimu. Bukan lautan, hanya kolam susu. Kail dan jala cukup menghidupimu. Tiada badai, tiada topan kau temui. Ikan dan udang menghampiri dirimu. Orang bilang tanah kita tanah surga. Tongkat kayu dan batu jadi tanaman. Orang bilang tanah kita tanah surga. Tongkat kayu dan batu jadi tanaman. Yang indah dan
That was the song entitled Kolam Susu, sung by Musi Kimia. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. The topic of today's My Indonesia is Indonesia appreciates Australian support for ASEAN outlook. The ASEAN-Australia ministerial meeting was held in Bangkok, Thailand on 1st of August 2019. Prior to the meeting, the ASEAN-Australian counter-trafficking initiative was launched with the aim of strengthening capacity-building cooperation in responding to the challenges of human trafficking for the 2018-2028. Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi also attended the ASEAN-Australia ministerial meeting. In her remarks, Minister Retno emphasized two important points. The first one is that Indonesia appreciates Australian support for the ASEAN outlook on Indo-Pacific. Indonesia hopes that the cooperation in four fields in the outlook, maritime, connectivity, SDGs and economy can be improved. The second one is that Minister Retno also emphasized the importance of cooperation in the context of human peace and security. ASEAN and Australia share dialogue to advance these three issues. In the future, Indonesia hopes that cooperation can be boosted to strengthen the role of women in peace and tolerance. As quoted on the website kemlu.co.id, Minister Retno also said that in April 2019, Indonesia held training for women diplomats in regional countries on the issue of women, peace and security. The training aims to strengthen the capacity of women diplomats in peace negotiations and make diplomats an agent of peace and tolerance. Collaboration on women issues can be done through existing ASEAN mechanisms, namely the ASEAN Institute for Peace and Reconciliation, or AIPR. In addition, Indonesia also conveyed information about an initiative developed by one of the Indonesian NGOs called Peace Villages. This initiative is aimed at improving the economic capacity of women at the village level and strengthening the capacity of women as a peace agents. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
jatuh bangun jatuh bangkit kembali.
Kita semua boleh jatuh tapi harus bangkit, bangkit bangun kembali. Kita semua boleh jatuh tapi harus bangkit kembali.
Kita semua boleh jatuh tapi harus bangkit, bangkit bangun kembali. Kita semua boleh jatuh tapi harus bangkit kembali.
Kita semua boleh jatuh tapi harus bangkit, harus bangkit kembali.
Kita semua boleh jatuh tapi harus bangkit kembali.
That was the song entitled Jatuh Bangkit Kembali, sung by Hyphy. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Well, listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I introduce Anggrosi Village to you. The Humboldt Bay Festival 2019 in Papua is being held from August 5 to 7, 2019. The event was held to welcome the 74th Indonesian Independence Day. Deputy Mayor of Jayapura Rustam Saru said 13 Bumi Cendrawasih cultural contents to be presented at the festival. With the theme Loving My Identity, this festival presents a variety of cultural richness of the people of Papua. One of them is the beauty of Anggrosi Village. The village lies in Yutefa Bay Natural Park, Jayapura, Papua. The Anggrosi Village is also located between Tanjung Pie and Saweri, separated from Papua mainland by the Tobati Strait. The village, which is inhabited by 160 family heads, is an area that floats above the sea. Deputy Assistant of Marketing Development 1, Regional 3 Division of Tourism Ministry, Muhammad Ricky Fauziani said that Anggrosi Village is a unique destination. Papuan people are identical with culture and life on the mountain. But the Anggrosi Village offers other amazing sights. They are fully live on the sea, similar like Bajo tribe in Southeast Sulawesi. All buildings and people's activities are conducted on the water. Since it is on the water, the houses among residents are connected with Jeramba or wooden bridge. The Jeramba reaches 2,000 meters long. The beauty of the village is more complete by the existence of Holtekam Bridge, or usually called Red Bridge. The 732 meters long bridge becomes a landmark of New Papua. In addition, Yutefa Bay also has exotic Mount Mer. At the same area, you can also find a sacred Mer Cave. Anggrosi Village has two zones. The first one is the customary stage or panggung adat femen. In this building, the men learn customary law and social institutions, while the women are given an area around the mangrove forest. They can carry out various activities such as catching crabs. And Grove Sea Village is also equipped with floating villas, gazebos, traditional halls, and various fish farming spots. Besides many tourist experiences, during traveling to Engrove Sea Village, you can also learn the local wisdom of the local community. Engrove Village has the philosophy of Tisokat, Tibosat, and Tirasut, which means let's get together, then talk to each other, then can be realized at work. Engrove Sea Village has a variety of dances with high philosophy. There is Chia dance, which is only performed to welcome the important guests. There is the Obi Papa dance, which describes the brotherhood and friendliness of the people there. There is also the Omande dance, which describes expression of gratitude to God Almighty. You can also learn the three dances when visiting the village. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
You have just listened to the song entitled Ayo Semangat, sung by The Changcuters, featuring DJ Sumantri. For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expression, and we invite you to speak in Indonesia. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian, that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesian. This Mari Berbahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI's foreign broadcast station, and the Language Development and Development Board of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is, apakah Anda bisa berbahasa Indonesia? Or in English, do you speak English? Next, I will give an example of a conversation on apakah Anda bisa berbahasa Indonesia or can you speak Indonesian?
Joko, apakah kamu bisa berselancar?
Aku tidak bisa. Kamu bisa?
Ya, aku bisa.
Wah, aku mau belajar. Tolong ajari aku berselancar ya. Bisa.
Oke, ayo kita cari tempat lewat papan berselancar.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce expressions and vocabulary related to today's theme, which is, apakah Anda bisa berbahasa Indonesia? Or in English, do you speak English? I will say the words 2 times and you may repeat after me. Apakah kamu bisa berselancar? Apakah kamu bisa berselancar? Which means, do you surf? Aku tidak bisa. Kamu bisa. Aku tidak bisa. Kamu bisa, which means no, I don't, do you? Belajar, belajar, to learn. Aku mau belajar berselancar. Aku mau belajar berselancar. I want to learn surfing. Tolong ajari aku berselancar. Bisa? Tolong ajari aku berselancar. Bisa? Please teach me to surf, will you? Ayo kita cari tempat sewa papan selancar. Ayo kita cari tempat sewa papan selancar. Let's find a place to rent a surfboard. Apakah kamu bisa berenang? Apakah kamu bisa berenang? Can you swim? Sedikit, sedikit, a little. Bisa, bisa, yes I can. Tidak bisa, tidak bisa. No, I can't. In the dialogue, you heard Tony ask, apakah kamu bisa berselancar? Apakah kamu bisa berselancar? Which means, can you surf? Or do you surf? In Indonesian conversation, the phrase apakah kamu bisa, apakah kamu bisa, which means can you do it, usually used to ask someone's ability to do something. So, if you want to get information about someone's ability to do something, you can ask apakah kamu bisa, apakah kamu bisa, which means can you. Then a verb is added about the ability to be asked. Example, apakah kamu bisa berenang? Apakah kamu bisa berenang, which means can you swim? Apakah kamu bisa berbicara bahasa Indonesia? Apakah kamu bisa berbicara bahasa Indonesia, which means can you speak Indonesian? To answer questions like that, you can use words like bisa, bisa, which means yes. Actually, yes I can. Sedikit, sedikit, which means a little. Tidak bisa, which means no, I cannot. Another example. Apakah kamu bisa berbicara bahasa Indonesia? Apakah kamu bisa berbicara bahasa Indonesia, which means can you speak Indonesian or do you speak Indonesian? Ya, sedikit, which means yes, a little. Saya harus belajar biar lulus ujian. Saya harus belajar biar lulus ujian, which means I have to study to pass the exam. Next in the dialogue, you heard Joko say, tolong ajari aku berselancar. Tolong ajari aku berselancar, which means please teach me to surf. The phrase tolong ajari aku, which means please teach me, is used to ask someone to teach you something. For example, tolong ajari aku berenang. Tolong ajari aku berenang, which means please teach me to swim. However, if you want to be more polite, you can ask in the form of question. For example, bisa ajari saya berenang? Bisa ajari saya berenang, which means can you teach me to swim? Boleh minta tolong untuk mengajari saya berselancar? Boleh minta tolong untuk mengajari saya berselancar, which means may I ask you to teach me how to surf? Or can you help me to learn how to surf? Before ending, mari berbahasa Indonesia or let's speak Indonesian today. For more details, let's listen to the sample conversation once more.
Joko, apakah kamu bisa berselancar?
Aku tidak bisa. Kamu bisa?
Ya, aku bisa.
Wah, aku mau belajar. Tolong ajari aku berselancar ya. Bisa.
Oke, ayo kita cari tempat lewat papan berselancar.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to learn more about Indonesian or Bahasa Indonesia. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
That was Aku Cinta Dia, sung by Krisha. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we present a Malayan song to you entitled Indragiri Hulu, sung by Riana Putri. The song Indragiri Hulu, which was composed by M. Hasan Daruhan, tells about homecoming trip of Narasingha, Sultan of Indragiri Hulu from Malacca. The lyrics tells about Indragiri Hulu, a Malayan sultanate which has been well known since long time ago. Currently, Indragiri Hulu is a regency in Riau province, which has been named as the cleanest regency in the province. The music of the song is accompanied by Malayan music instruments such as tambourine, gambus, violin, gong and serunai or fife. Listener, here is Indragiri Hulu, sung by Riana Putri. Enjoy the song.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.